to Bring It Up with Deb and Cindy. This is a program where we bring up the conversation. Your hosts, Deborah Flora, speaker, writer, and movie producer, and Cindy Fay, author, Bible teacher, and international correspondent. And now, it's time to elevate the dialogue and bring it up.
Welcome to Bring It Up. Today, I'm Cindy Fay.
And I'm Deborah Flora.
Well, Deb, the question that I want to address today is pretty simple, and I think if we're honest, every one of us is probably asking ourselves this question. How do I get a fresh start in 2019 when my circumstances haven't changed? You know, yes, it's a new year, but I've got the same old issues staring me in the face, and I certainly do not want 2019 to be a do-over of 2018.
Oh, I love it when we get honest. Let's always be honest.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us feel that way, definitely. You know, and someone I admire wrote this, if you want something you've never had, you must do something you've never done. The most profound or obvious,
yes.
Sometimes the most simple,
mm-hmm.
but true. You know, and while nothing magical happens when we flip the calendar, let's face it, it's not like, you know, fairy dust comes down when we go from December to January.
And our problems all go away.
Exactly. That only happens in animated movies. But a new year does offer an opportunity to address old problems in a new way.
Mm.
That's what's so great
mm-hmm.
about it. We need a fresh perspective, a fresh game plan, a fresh start. Even when our circumstances haven't changed, which is usually the case, it doesn't change with the turn of the clock, is it possible for us to change how we see them, how we respond to them? And most importantly, dare we hope that it might be possible to affect lasting change in those circumstances? And if so, how do we begin?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of great questions
yep.
for 2019. And here to help us is our dear friend and frequent guest here on Bring It Up, marriage and family Sardisco. Donna, we are so glad you're with us. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. It's so good to be with you both.
Well, excellent, Donna. We've got a lot of questions for you, so let's just strap in and get rolling. So,
all right.
When we want to have that fresh start in life, what specific areas in our life do you think that we need to address? Which are the biggies?
Yeah, you know, the biggies are, number one, our relationships. So we want to ask ourselves, are the relationships I have now, are they healthy? Is there mutual respect in those relationships? Are they enjoyable? And when hurt does take place, is there an apology and an effort to change? Because those are signs that a relationship is healthy, because we're not perfect, and in all of our relationships, we're going to experience hurt at times. As opposed to a relationship that's not healthy, when you bring something up, when there's been harm or your feelings have been hurt, someone may shift the blame and say, oh, you're too sensitive, or they might make an excuse for what they've done, minimize it, and then there's no resolve.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you want to take a look at relationships.
Okay.
And I love Proverbs 13:20. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. So secondly, I think our financial area is something that we need to address. We need to ask ourselves, am I living within my means, and am I able to give financially?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Malachi 3:10, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it.
Mm. So we all want to be candidates for that, Donna.
Yeah. Yes, we do. Another biggie, as you said, I think, is our spiritual life. Am
yes.
I investing time in developing my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through primarily Bible reading, prayer, and involvement in church?
Mm-hmm.
And 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, keep examining yourself to see whether you are continuing in the faith. Test yourself. You know, don't you, that Jesus the Messiah lives in you. And then I think there's two other biggies. One is our physical health. So we would want to ask ourselves, am I maintaining a healthy weight, and am I physically active? And then lastly, are there any addictions that I need to resolve? And regarding our health, you know, in 1 Corinthians it says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't belong to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love that.
Yeah. And then lastly, we want to look at our time management. Does the way I invest my time reflect my priorities? Also, do I need to unplug from electronic devices and social media?
Mm.
Because we all need times of quiet, solitude, and time to be alone with our thoughts. And Ephesians 5:15 says, look carefully at how you walk, not as unwise, but be wise, making the best use of your time.
Wow.
So I think those are the biggies that we want to look at when we're looking at addressing change.
Mm-hmm. So let's review them. They're spiritual, our spiritual life, our financial situation, including our tithing, our time management, our physical health, and our relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So those are great key points to look at. If we find our heart resonating with one of them in particular, what is the first step then towards making progress in the area that we feel, gosh, there's a little red flag here? In other words, how do we begin, Donna, so that we don't have a rerun of 2018, you know, same problems, different year?
Yes, yes. So I think, you know, you said it right off the bat. Identify the area or areas that need attention. And if we're not sure or we feel overwhelmed, I love that we can ask God what needs attention in our life and be specific in our prayer, saying, you know, Jesus, is there something that I need to start doing or stop doing in my life? And Jeremiah tells us that if we call on him, he will answer us and tell us great and hidden things. So it's not like he wants to hide what areas he wants to make new in our lives for 2019. He is, you know, loving to inform us of these hidden things.
Yes.
In Matthew, it says, whatever you ask in prayer, you'll receive. That's Matthew 21:22.
Mm-hmm.
So identify the area, be specific about your goals, and also have a support partner or a friend that you can be accountable with. It's so helpful to do that because God doesn't intend us, you know, to do life alone. And so I think those are three things that will be helpful.
Excellent. Well, you're listening to special guest today, marriage and family therapist Donna Sardisco. We're talking about new year, same old problems. How do we get a fresh start? How do we make sure we're not having a do-over of 2018 in this new year? Donna, why is it so important then to stop and look and ask of the Lord, inquire of him, and make these kind of goals? Why is this step so foundational before there's any hope for change?
Oh, you know, it's definitely because when our vertical relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is close, right, and intact, then everything on the horizontal plane, work, relationships, time management, will fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
And we're much more likely to make good choices in our life when our soul is quieted and satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And Psalm 107:9 says, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. So when that is satisfied, our deepest need, then we're much more likely to have the strength to make right and good choices,
mm-hmm.
especially in the areas that we desire to have a fresh start.
Yeah, I love the way you incorporate a scripture with each one of these things, because our Father addresses these things in his word, doesn't he?
Uh-huh.
When we inquire after him and of him, he has answers for us. So we can get a running start, I think, in an area where we have a challenge. This is what you're calling us to inquire of the Lord. He's going to show us. We get this. We can really start out. But how do we continue then to successfully maintain progress? I think that's where a lot of us fall down on the job. We may get started and then kind of wax and wane as the weeks
uh-huh.
roll on. So we want to maintain that progress. What practical things can we do then to help us maintain that fresh start? And here's the kicker. Even if we really don't see change right away happening, how do we prevent ourselves from getting derailed or sidetracked or discouraged, frankly?
Right, right. Well, as we said, knowing your area of vulnerability or weakness and identifying it And then to avoid that, I believe avoiding places and people that might trigger you or stumble you. Mm-hmm. If there's an addiction problem and you're saying, you know, this year I'm going to avoid that, then that means relationships might need to change, where we socialize might need to change. If it's a weight issue, we might need to take a different street instead of drive by the, you know, Dunkin' Donuts drive-through, if that's going to trip us up.
Right.
So I think avoiding places and people that might trigger us, and also staying connected to God and being patient with yourself and others. Ephesians 4:2 says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other because of your love. And Galatians 6:9 says, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due time you'll reap a harvest if we don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
And we may not see another person change, but we're only responsible for our behavior.
Yes.
And if we do stumble, know that, you know, progress oftentimes is 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, 5 steps forward, you know, 1 step back. And sometimes we feel like we're going back more than forward, but don't ever give up. Keep going. I know long ago when I was smoking cigarettes before my days of walking with the Lord, I kept trying to quit. I didn't just give in and say, hey, well, you know what? I got stressed out and I went to that to help me. I kept trying, and now it's been over 25 years. There's other things, of course, that the Lord is addressing in my life and that I'm working towards to make good choices, but don't stop trying. Don't give up on yourself. God will never give up on us.
Yep, and don't let one little goof up define, you know, yourself going forward. That's huge. Just pick yourself up. Pick yourself up and say, okay, you know what? I stumbled a little there, but I'm back on. You know, I'm back on track.
Yeah, stumble does not define us.
Nope.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what can we do then, Donna, if past baggage, let's be honest, we all have it, or difficult relationships make our desire for a fresh start difficult? Sometimes we may have lost hope that anything can change, honestly.
Yeah. Well, regarding past baggage, I would say, you know, healing is a process. It's not an event. So when we've had harm in our past and it keeps showing up and tripping us up in areas, realize that it's process. Psalm 43 promises that he heals the brokenness. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
So again, with this, so we want to choose to forgive ourselves or another person. And then lastly, we want to ask for wisdom. Wisdom's always knowing how to handle every situation perfectly. The right says that he asks for wisdom. The spiritual is so foundational.
Mm.
Going to God and asking him for wisdom, he will give us that.
He will.
Just the difficult relationships. I would say keeping your 2 Chronicles says we're powerless against this mighty army that's about to attack us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you.
Mm.
So as we keep our eyes on the Lord in these difficult relationships and through prayer, release that person to God and then ask God if he wants you out of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be really helpful.
That's really helpful, Donna. Well, in our last minute or so, let's just look to God's Word. Is there anything there that can encourage us about beginning fresh, about addressing the things that weigh us down?
Oh, absolutely. God loves new beginnings. He's all about making things brand new. In Revelations 21:5, it says, and he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. And in Ezekiel, it says, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. So he loves, his mercies are new every morning, and he loves the idea that we want to have a fresh start in our walk with him and in all of these areas in our lives. And regarding the things that weigh us down, I love that he tells us to cast our burdens on the Lord and that he'll sustain us and he'll never let the righteous be moved. And that's Psalm 55:22. And regarding the hope we need, I look to Isaiah 40:31. It says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar like wings on eagles, and they'll run and not grow weary, and they'll walk and not faint. And I think that is the key to helping us maintain healthy choices in all of these areas of our life.
And to get new victory in 2019.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Gosh, thank you so much, Donna. I feel like that eagle now. I have hope, and
yes.
I am soaring. So thank you for these words.
Aww.
You know, it's so timely and encouraging for us right now, knowing that 2019 does not have to be the same year, same old circumstances. I love that you encourage us. Our God is the God of hope. He's the God of change. Mm-hmm. He's the God of fresh possibility, new beginnings. And he's always ready to help us do a new thing. And he does a new thing in our lives when we turn to him. So on our website, bringitupmedia.com, we'll have a link to a great article from crosswalk.com called How You Can Make a Fresh Start. I love that. That will be at bringitupmedia.com and on our Facebook page, Bring It Up Media. Well, as we continue, sometimes it seems like these two words go hand in hand, mom and worry, because moms worry. But are we hardwired that way, or can we learn a better way? Let's bring it up together next. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Bill, and this is my wife, Kathleen, and we're the owners of American Vision Windows.
When Bill and I decided to have our windows replaced, we thought we had found a reputable company to do the job. We had such a negative experience that we decided to take action and start American Vision Windows.
We've set out to revolutionize the window business by building American Vision Windows on quality, integrity, and customer service. We put our name and reputation on the line to better serve homeowners like you.
Bill and I have learned a lot from our customers. We've found that the number one reason people decide to get new windows is beauty.
And American Vision Windows is making it easier for you to afford beautiful windows with 0% financing for one full year. Plus, they'll pay the tax. So call 888-228-0722, 888-228-0722, or AmericanVisionWindows.com.
Catch the vision, American Vision Windows.
CSRB number 778326 on approved credit. Certain restrictions apply. Tax based on materials. Expires 1/31/19.
Welcome back to Bring It Up. I'm Deborah Flora.
And I'm Cindy Fay.
Well, Cindy, I have confessed many times before to you that I come from a long line of expert and prolific worriers.
Oh, dear. Is that like a spiritual gift, Deb?
Well, no, it's quite the opposite.
Oh, gosh. You know,
I think it's probably from the German heritage mixed with the perfectionistic tendencies and military upbringing.
That'll do it.
Together. Yes. And it's this whole package that, you know, it really, I think it amplified my family's belief that if we worry enough about any potential outcome ahead of time, we can preemptively strike and keep that thing from happening.
Because
it's like a superpower.
Yes, because worry is so effective, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's my superpower. No, but once I realized that this was all just wishful thinking, I do not have that much power over the universe, I started getting my worry-wart tendency under control until something happened. Yes, I became a mom.
Oh, my gosh.
And it became out of remission and full-blown again.
Yes, hence where we get the phrase helicopter mom, because that's what drives the helicopter mom.
It is, and
you know, really that is, we laugh, but it is such a challenge for us, Deb, as mothers. Suddenly there's this vulnerable little person under our care. We of course want to do everything we can to nurture them and protect them and help them grow into everything God has designed them to be. But where's the boundaries? You know, the hard part is when our healthy protective instincts go rogue and go straight into the nut job category, and we were plummeted into the, you know, old-fashioned control and anxiety and fear and worry.
Yes, I feel like you're talking to me, Cindy. I received that. That is why I was so glad that I came across a great article on Crosswalk that would address this very issue. How do we stop worrying? We all want to. We know it's a problem. Well, part of the answer is in the title of this article by Cindy McMenamin. And the title of the article is Two Words Moms Need to Stop Using Right Now. So I love that Cindy said this in this article. She talks about how we need to eliminate the two most peace-robbing words for mom. So, you know, what are those words? That's the question.
What are those two words? Stop that or...
No, because I said so.
Or because I said so. That is too many words. But
That's exactly right.
I don't know. What are the two words?
Okay, the two words are, what if? Now, they're the two most debilitating words a woman can say in many ways, especially in regards to her children. They fill our minds with doubt and our hearts with fear. They are worrisome words. What if? As in, what if my children get hurt? What if they don't make friends? What if they are following the wrong crowd? What if they're not telling me the truth? And finally, I think the one that plagues us most is, what if I'm not good enough as a mom? You know, I've got to say, there have been far too many nights that I've laid awake imagining every single possible harm that could come to our children. Now, it leads to good behavior, like making sure that everything is baby-proofed and the sockets are covered. But when it gets out of control, the burden can become really heavy.
Yeah.
It's just plain heavy.
Yeah, and that only exacerbates as our kids get older and, you know, the stakes get a little higher.
Yes.
The worry just amps up and amps up, and we don't really get a hold on that. You know, God knows that worry can become too heavy to bear, honestly, and it's a thief, honestly, as well, that just robs us. It robs us of joy and peace and sometimes even our health. So there's a reason that God's word tells us, don't worry about anything, including those little people. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as we live in Christ Jesus. And that's found in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. So here God's giving us really a prescription to replace those what ifs with prayer and thanksgiving. It's a way to channel our busy little brains in the middle of the night and to really harness and take our thoughts captive, honestly. You know, we really cannot think of more than one thing at a time. So if we choose to trade those anxious thoughts for his peace and thanksgiving for what he's already done, then I think that's a great place to begin.
It really is. You know, and I remember one night when I was having an especially hard time sleeping, and I started doing just that. I was trying to take every anxious thought captive. But as I struggled, I realized what was really at the root of all my what-if questions. What was at the root of it was trust.
Yeah.
I was forced to answer this question. Do I really trust God enough to entrust him with my greatest treasures, our children?
Yeah.
And the key to trust really is belief. What do I believe about God? Do I believe the most foundational truths, that he is good, that God is able, and that he loves my children more than I ever could? He forced me to answer those questions. And once I finally answered those questions with a resounding yes, I believe in God's good character, realizing he is in ultimate control. When I did that, his peace began to settle in, and I trusted him enough to give up my false sense of control, which I didn't have anyway, and then I went to sleep. You know, it can continue to be a struggle. It doesn't go away, you know, once and for all. So we wanted to share some practical steps from this article by Cindy McManaman that she shared in The Crosswalk in that publication. And these are how to give God our concerns about our kids instead of worrying about them. And I love it. She says it's as easy as A, B, C. So let's start. Kick it off with the A, Cindy.
Let's start with A. And that the word here is admit, which is kind of what you did, Deb. Admit we don't have control over our kids' lives, no matter how much we think we do. That's the fallacy. So yeah, we can control certain things, you know, their entertainment, their friends, their environment, but we can only even do that for a little while. But, you know, as good of a monitor as we could be, our children are eventually going to make decisions on their own. They're going to go to college. You're not going to know what they're doing. And, you know, those decisions may at times grieve our heart, the things that we find out about. But we can go ahead and give up that quest for control right now by saying aloud, I am not in control of my child's life. God is. So the first letter is admit.
And I'm going to say, I'm not in control of my child's life. God is. I needed that.
Admit.
Exactly. Hey, you're listening to Bring It Up with Deb and Cindy. We're talking about steps to become a worry-free mom. But honestly, these steps work whether you're a mom, whether you're not, because we all worry about something.
Yep.
It's kind of in our DNA. So these steps are for all of us. The first one, these are the ABCs of stopping worrying. The first A is admit. The B is believe. believe God wants only the best for us and our children and our circumstances. Sometimes we fear that God will ask something of us or our children that we're not willing to give, like he's going to send us all to Africa for some reason or whatever. But when we understand that God loves our children even more than we do, he loves us more than we can imagine, there's peace in placing ourselves and our children and our husbands and our cares in God's hands. Now that we've admitted we don't have control, we can take the next step and believe that his control of our life and our children is truly a good thing.
Yes.
The B is for believe.
He's trustworthy, you know?
He is.
Yeah, he's trustworthy. So believe and then commit. The C is for commit yourself to a deeper knowledge of God. Have that one-on-one intimacy. You know, our worry factor, I think, is directly related to how well we know God personally. And when we truly know him and understand all that he's capable of, we really can't help but then trust him. You know, through familiarity and intimate knowledge comes trust in any relationship. So we can commit ourselves to getting to know God, prayer through his precious word, and to listening for that little voice that when he speaks to us. So commit to a deeper knowledge of God.
Absolutely. And here's the D. Do what you can, then depend on him. Mm. You know, I love the Serenity Prayer. It got me through many late nights and early momhood experiences and worries. The Serenity Prayer, the first part says, God, grant me the serenity, the peace, to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's the key. We can ask God for the wisdom to show us what we can do to protect our children. I gotta say, especially in this culture, we can be aware of what's going on in the media or in our schools, and then we do what we can through things like media parent control, saying no, making our voices heard, talking with our children. But when we've done all that we know to do, all we can do, then we can ask the peace of God as he handles the rest. We can then depend on him to do what we can.
Yeah, because the day is coming when we're not going to know what our kids are doing or where they are.
Yes.
And we can't be a hot mess when that happens, you know?
Exactly.
So, okay, the E is expect him to come through for us. Philippians 4:6 instructs us not to worry about anything, but instead to pray about everything, thanking God for all that he's done. You know, the command for us to thank God for all he's done really tells us that we should be thanking God ahead of time for all that we are trusting him to do on our behalf, all that we have in our open hands as we hold them out to the Lord. That's faith, you know, the assurance of things that we're hoping for and the conviction of things that we do not see.
I love that. Expect and thank him. The F is for focus. Focus on the truth, not the what ifs, which may never ever happen, by the way. And the truth is, with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26 tells us that. The truth is, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13, he'll never leave our children either. The what ifs are the scenarios our mind conjures up when we forget the truth of who God is. We focus on that instead of on him. And we need to focus on what he's capable of. In other words, we can focus on the facts of God's character, not our fears of what might be if God weren't in control.
That's good.
You know, and as I said, these practical steps are for all of us, whether we're parents or not. We all have the human tendency to worry about that which is dearest to our hearts. And as we take these steps, we can watch as our worries gradually fall or melt away by the wayside. And in its place, we have a new, healthier habit, which is trust.
Oh, that's so great. We can replace our worry with trust. Let's have that as a 2019 goal, Deb.
Yes. What's mine? That's for sure.
Well, on our website at bringitupmedia.com, we're going to have a link to that great Crosswalk article, as well as Cindy McMenamin's book, which is called 10 Secrets to Becoming a Worry-Free Mom. That's a great book for any of us, no matter what age your kids are. That's going to be at bringitupmedia.com and on our Facebook page, Bring It Up Media.
Well, as we continue, hey, have you taken a look lately at your wardrobe? Have you cleared out the things that just shouldn't be there or they're outdated? How about your spiritual wardrobe? Are you as vigilant about getting rid of destructive thinking as you are outdated clothes? Well, just ahead, a wardrobe update for our minds and our spirits.
This is Cindy with an invitation for you to join us as a partner in the Bring It Up radio show. We're a nonprofit, so your donation is tax deductible. Now, this is the program where we're not afraid to bring up the hot topics of the day. Whatever the issue, we're ready to take it on from a biblical perspective to help you think and act biblically as a champion for your family, your community, your country, and the world. And you make it all possible with your prayer and financial support. You can donate by logging on to our website, bringitupmedia.com, and clicking the donate button. Give any amount, put it on your credit card, and maybe make it a monthly support. And again, because we're nonprofit, your gift is tax deductible. So come join us in strengthening biblical values in our homes and in our crazy culture by partnering with us. Just log on to bringitupmedia.com and click on the donate button. And thanks. We're in this together. Again, that's bringitupmedia.com. Welcome back to Bring It Up. I'm Cindy Fay.
And I'm Deborah Flora.
Well, Deb, I was going through my closet the other day, you know, cleaning out the old stuff, and I came good time of year to do it, by the way. Bag up stuff, get rid of it. But I came across this fuzzy lamb's wool jacket, and I use the word jacket loosely, very, very roughly hewn, I would say, that I had bought in Onda Huaylas, Peru a few years ago.
Can you say that again, by the way? I just love the sound of
Huaylas. Onda Huaylas, Peru is at 12,000 feet in the Andes Mountains.
Oh, wow.
They hardly have ever seen white people. It's freezing cold there. I bought it in the village's Sunday market at a stall right next to where they were butchering pigs for sale.
Wow. Okay, all kinds of images are going through my head. None of them have to do with, like, a mall or Neiman Marcus.
No.
So tell me, why would you buy this jacket at 12,000 feet next to a pig butchering area?
Well, yeah, really, why is a good question. I bought it because I accidentally left my down coat in my husband's car when he opened the door and dropped me at the international terminal at like 4 a.m. And my coat is black and so is the inside of his car. So there I was for 2 weeks. Yeah, you know, at this place for, you know, with it's literally freezing at 12,000 feet. And I was forced to wear layer upon layer upon layer of my clothing to keep warm, even at night. And honestly, I was bundled up so tight I could barely move, so awkward, so restrictive. So last week when I saw this jacket that I had bought in the town marketplace stuffed in the back of my closet, I was reminded of how important and even life-saving our wardrobe can be. And then, just like our God does this, the Lord who lives in us, he asked me, just whispered this question in my heart and my spirit, well, what about your spiritual wardrobe? What about your spiritual wardrobe, Cindy? What are you wearing every day that might be binding you up, restricting your spirit, just as surely as those layers restricted your body back in Peru? What's weighing you down? Wow. I mean, it was just nailed me.
That's quite a question.
You know, that trip to Peru, Deb, it was a grueling 2-week experience. And believe me, I could not wait to get to our hotel in Miami, close the door to my room, and throw off the burden of those extra layers. So my question today is, what is our spiritual wardrobe? What are we wearing in our hearts and minds and in our spirits that God wants us to throw off?
Oh, that is a good question. So it's more than just 80s leg warmers.
Right.
Look at the spiritual things we have to get rid of. You know, Cindy, when you talk about this great analogy, I think that sometimes we can wear heavy spiritual and heart garments like disappointment or disillusionment, maybe a critical spirit or an overwhelmed heart. Maybe we're carrying unforgiveness, worry, anger, or unrealistic expectations. Mm. Those are all weighing us down. You know, and these garments, quote unquote, don't help us. They don't serve any purpose but to restrict us, like those heavy layers you wore in Peru.
Yeah.
You know, none of us want to wear these kind of garments that weigh us down, especially for years at a time.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't even know we still have them on.
Right.
You know, I recently had to throw off something that was weighing me down for some time because, you know, as you know, I care deeply about our country and I read a lot to keep up with all those issues.
Yes.
That in itself is a good thing because I believe we're all called to do this in order to be good stewards of the freedom, the amazing freedom with which we've been blessed. how I found myself becoming more and more angry and heavy-hearted about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt that gentle nudge you were talking about. You know, he was saying, be informed, do all you can, but then leave the results to me. Put your cares down. I was reminded that he's in the results department. You know, when I gave these cares to him, these heavy burdens I was carrying, I traded this heavy, burdensome, weighing down cloak of concern with his light garment of freedom and hope and mm-hmm. even, you know, joy in the midst mm-hmm. of all of it. He is in control no matter what we see, and he helped me trade those out. It, mm-hmm. it was such a relief.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, Deb. Honestly, well, thankfully, you know, we don't have to keep those heavy garments on. I love that you allowed the Lord to show you what you were carrying.
Yes.
Because, you know, he wants to offer us something so much better. This week I read a devotional called Encouragement for Today that quoted out of Isaiah 61 where God notices the Israelites' affliction just like he notices ours. And through the prophet Isaiah, God promises that one day his people would exchange their garments of mourning and sadness for something new. Mm-hmm. And here's what God promised in Isaiah 61:3, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Mourning will be replaced with joy. Sadness will transform into a garment of praise. You know, this reminds me, Deb, you shared something recent with you, and recently the Lord took something I was carrying that he didn't intend for me to wear. Mm-hmm. As you know, my mom passed away late in October, and I have been caring for my 96-year-old dad.
Wow.
But, you know, I'm diligent. I want to be a loving and committed daughter. But I began to just feel a heaviness mm-hmm. of responsibility that I alone can do this. You know, I alone am connected to my daddy. You know, I alone can see what he needs, can meet his emotional needs and his grief, meet him in his grief. And just a couple days ago, Deb, the Lord showed me I can use other people.
That's great.
And I am using other people. I am watching as God is using this wonderful man that we hired as a caregiver for my dad to bring a fresh joy and a new level of engagement with my dad. And I'm realizing, you know what? The Lord is showing me I didn't intend for you to carry that, little one. I want to set you free of that.
That's
and so
great.
These last days have been one of rejoicing as the Lord has set me free from the burden of carrying that. You know, we may have worn garments of fear maybe in the past, of unresolved grief or pain or hurt or disillusionment, but we're not required to wear them forever. Our loving Father's paved the way through his Son to throw off those weights and put on his garments of forgiveness and healing and wholeness and love, just like he's done with you and I in these last weeks, Deb.
Oh, I love that. And I love that we can be intentional. The idea of taking off certain clothes and putting something else on, that's intentional.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And changing our spiritual wardrobe really begins with taking a good look at what we're wearing.
Yeah.
What do we have on? Let's go look in the spiritual mirror for a second, shall we? You know, what are our attitudes and beliefs? Where do they come from? Are they how God sees us? Or are they junky old clothes that we brought with us from our former life? They may be garments someone else gave us and we thought we had to wear. Or they might be garments that you allowed yourself wear, like pride, anger, bitterness, greed, lying, worry, whatever we're struggling with. If we take a hard look at what we're wearing spiritually, what we've got on, we've got to be honest enough to then be willing to take off those old clothes intentionally.
Yes.
Take them off. Choose to take them off and put instead on the garments that Jesus gives us.
I love that.
It's light and it's good.
Oh, it is light and good. Well, you're listening to Bring It Up with Deb and Cindy, and we're talking about renewing our spiritual wardrobe. We might be tossing out old junk from our wardrobe, the clothes that are out of date, like you said, the leg warmers, Deb. But man, we might be carrying some attitudes and beliefs that are way out of date, that our Lord Jesus never intended for us to wear. So we're talking about all that, and we want to be well-dressed women of God on the inside,
yes,
where our attitudes and our thoughts are actually birthed. And I love how God describes in his word the garments that he has provided. provided for us. So as we're talking today about a spiritual wardrobe change, let's take a look at what our Father has given us to wear. Why don't you kick us off, Deb?
Oh, I will. This is my favorite kind of fashion show. These are the best styles.
Yes.
So first of all, we see in the book of Isaiah that we are to be clothed with the garment of salvation.
Mm.
It says in Isaiah, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and covered me with robes of righteousness.
Mm, that's beautiful.
Wow. Salvation and righteousness. Because through Jesus, God removes our garments of shame or sin. To be clothed with the garment of salvation means we are now covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're wearing his clothes,
yes,
basically. We're daughters of the King. We're cherished. We're holy. We're beloved. Question is, do we see ourselves this way? If we're still wearing the old garments, like garments of shame, we can exchange them today for the garment of salvation, the covering of our Heavenly Father, his robes of righteousness. Mm. And it begins with simply asking him to take our old garments and give up and give us his own. Let's make that exchange to surrender ourselves to his love and to be clothed as his child, how he'd want to dress us.
Yes.
I love it.
Isn't
our Father wants to dress us.
Isn't that beautiful? And he has prepared these clothes for us.
Mm-hmm.
So the first is the garment of salvation. The second, God has clothed us with the garment of praise.
Mm.
Isaiah 61:3 says, he came to console those who mourn, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and here's the kicker, to give them the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Mm, what a great trade.
Isn't that a trade-off? So many women today, I was wearing a garment of heaviness. Circumstances mm-hmm. might be hard. We may have disappointments. We may live with a sense of defeat or inevitability. But, here's our Father in the midst of these heavy experiences or situations offering us a garment of praise. But the truth is we have to be willing to offer him our worn out garment of heaviness in exchange. God says this, if you're willing to give me that old heavy coat, I'll clothe you with the garment of praise. Psalm 30:11 says, you have turned my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and have clothed me with gladness.
Oh, that's great. Well, and here's a third one. Proverbs 31:25 tells us that God clothes us as women with strength and honor. Strength and honor or dignity are her clothing. That's what the word says. So how do we get strength and honor as a woman? Well, Psalm 96 says, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his presence. So if we want to be clothed with strength and dignity to face whatever is coming at us today, we need to get into God's presence. It's that simple. In his presence, we're transformed. It's like, Cinderella. Our rags are turned
yes.
into a beautiful dress in his presence. There's wisdom for the one who asks. There's joy and strength and honor when we spend our time with our Heavenly Father. He promises to clothe us with these things, and they are good.
Yes. And Deb, there's more, actually.
Wait, there's more.
When we check out the New Testament, we find a whole new set of clothing in Colossians 3, where it says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These are also, by the way, the fruit of the Spirit that God bears in us and grows in us when we allow his life and his Spirit to live inside of us. Colossians also says, bear with each other, forgive whatever grievances you have against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these things, put on love. Boy, that is a spiritual wardrobe change.
Oh, it sure is. And it's a great one. Basically, we're just putting on Jesus, as Romans 13:14 says, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I want to look a lot more like him. He's got style.
Yep. Well, perhaps it's time for that spiritual wardrobe change. If we're wearing heavy, bulky garments that are weighing us down emotionally or mentally or spiritually, let's just go before our Father who holds out garments that are light and freeing. Today, really, what God is saying is, let me dress you. Let me clothe you. Let me give you what you need to be light and free and to be a beautifully adorned, glorious woman of God.
Oh, that's great. Well, on our website, bringingupmedia.com, we'll have a link to a great article by Whitney Hoppler entitled Put on Spiritual Clothes.
That will
be,
Amen.
Don't be the emperor who's naked. Put
yes,
on spiritual clothes.
Yes.
That will be at our website, bringingupmedia.com, and on our Facebook page, Bring It Up Media.
Well, as we continue, we ate it all at Christmas, the cookies, the pies, the spinach dinner. dip. And truthfully, some of us are still eating it.
Oh,
I just have to say the brownies at our small group. Yikes. I need a detox, Deb, and I need it now. But can I undo all that damage in one day? Up next, you just might be surprised.
Back to Bring It Up. I'm Deborah Flora.
And I'm Cindy Fay.
Well, Cindy, I have to admit, this is a show of confession. I am having a very delayed start on my 2019 resolutions. And after all the holiday cheer, I'm feeling, how shall we say it, pretty yucky and disgusting. So,
yes. Well, I have to say, I ate two brownies at Life Group this week, and now I feel, you know, like I need help.
You know, hey, not that misery loves company, but you did make me feel a little bit better. So, you know, I was thinking the other day that what we really need is a jump start into 2019. But when most people think of a health kickstart, they think of the word detox. And in fact, if you Google the word detox, you'll see over 200 million matches.
Wow.
But detox can sound very ominous and extreme and bring to mind images of starvation, long-term deprivation, and strange tasting concoctions. That's kind of what comes to mind.
Yes.
That is why it was perfect timing when the Today Show shared Joy Bauer's one-day detox that, by the way, involves real food.
You know, I saw that at the gym, and I really loved how she shared a really straightforward solution to kind of reboot our systems. And truthfully, we can do it in one day.
Oh, yes. Well, that's true. So if you, too, feel like you are emerging from a holiday food coma along with us, we wanted to share some of the great and very basic guidelines of Joy Bauer's one-day detox. Now, let's be honest. It's not necessarily something we haven't heard before, but it sure is good to review and then restart. So here are the guidelines. First of all, just wake up and exercise. This is often the last thing we want to do when we're feeling bloated and tired. However, it's the key to pressing the restart button. You know, we can just wake up 45 minutes early, take a brisk walk, hit the gym, even, by the way, dance in the basement where no one's looking. I mean, all it takes is about 30 minutes. We'll sweat, release endorphins, and we'll also, by the way, prevent inflammation and balance our glucose levels. Those are important things. We'll be in the right mind for the rest of the healthy day that we have ahead.
Yep. And the second thing is a no-brainer, but drink plenty of water. Start in the morning with 2 8-ounce glasses, then drink 2 more glasses of water before every meal. It's going to help you feel full, flush out the salt and the fluid, rehydrate, and reduce puffiness.
Oh, we like that. No more puffiness. The third thing is this. Cut out starchy carbs like bread, rice, pasta. I mean,
my
multigrains. Yeah, I'm sorry to tell you that. Whole grains are good, but just one day without them will help kickstart our good habits. We'll feel better, less bloated. You know, go to our website, bringitupmedia.com. We'll have a link to the menu ideas. But I got to say, this got me thinking, what else do we want a one-day detox from? I mean, this idea of a reset or reboot, it can be apply to any of our lives. I mean, do we want a one-day detox from Facebook or TV? I mean, how about you, Cindy? What do you want a one-day detox from?
Honestly, Deb, I thought about this yesterday. I'm going to do a one-day detox from my phone.
You radical.
Yeah, when I feel that, hear that, whatever, buzz, bing, I'm wrecked. I'm immediately there. I need to stop. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to take a day of detox from my phone.
I am going to steal your idea and do the same. And then I'm also going to do a one-day detox from social media. Honestly, it's amazing how you can enter that zone and then suddenly become like a social media zombie.
Yeah.
Because time just goes by. So the point is this. This one-day detox really reflects the biblical concept of fasting. Mm-hmm. Cutting something out to provide an opportunity to focus on something else. Whether it is detoxing for a day to focus on health or detoxing something else to focus on God. We want to hear from you. Reach out to us on our Facebook page, Bring It Up Media. Let us know what you want a one-day detox from, what you're planning on focusing on instead. Our prayer is that we all take a moment to push the restart button and launch into a great and healthy 2019.
And thanks for listening this week.